continue on, and we're going to finish up our series on the Beatitudes. Beatitudes are found in Matthew chapter 5, where we're going to turn now, and we're going to begin in verse 10. We have looked through verses 3 through 9 in the last two Sundays, actually the last three Sundays, and so at this point, we are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. We're going to look at 10, 11, and 12, and then we're going to look at a few other things that Jesus said elsewhere. So Jesus, in the Beatitudes, and again, through the Beatitudes, he's brought up different areas of our life, mentioning purity, mentioning humility, righteousness or right living, and he's mentioned peace. And so but this one's kind of altogether different. This one kind of sums it all up in a sense, without really mentioning it all. But he's basically saying if you do these other things, then this is likely going to happen. Okay, so let's look at what he says. Verse 10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Who wants the kingdom of heaven? Said it's going to be yours, but it might cost you something. Is that what it says? Yeah, basically that's what it says. Do you know that salvation is free, but it will cost you everything? I'm going to say it again just because I let it sink in a touch, okay? Not because you're hard of hearing, but I sometimes need a moment to process. If you ever see me going like this, it means I'm thinking about what was said, okay? So I'm going to let you process it again. Salvation is free, but it'll cost you everything. In other words, well, in Jesus' words, he said, we have to lay down our lives and pick up the cross and follow him. We got to give up our own life. That's what I mean by it'll cost you everything. But it's free. Money can't buy it. It'll cost you your life. And so here Jesus is saying, hey, guys, I want you to understand that God is going to bless those who are persecuted because when they do right. Notice it doesn't say, Jesus does not say, hey, God's going to bless you when you're persecuted, when you do wrong. That doesn't even make sense. But we could easily misunderstand and say, oh, yeah, I'm being persecuted. Oh, yeah, who's persecuting you? Oh, so-and-so. Well, why are they persecuting you? Well, because I was ugly to them the other day. That's what you end up finding out. That doesn't work. So this is talking about being persecuted for doing right, doing some of those other things that Jesus has already mentioned in the previous Beatitudes, in the previous verses. Okay, that's talking about living in purity and peace and being humble and things of that nature. Okay. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How many are excited about the thought of being persecuted? Not really. I mean, neither. It's a little bit concerning, isn't it? But look at what Jesus goes on to say. God blesses you when people mock you. I would imagine some of you in the room have been mocked because of you trying to follow Jesus to the best of your ability. Some will not understand that, and they're going to make fun of it and mock you. Oh, you got to go into your little closet and pray now? Something silly like that. It could be a variety of things. Jesus said God blesses you when people mock you. God's going to bless you even though that is going to happen. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you. Oh, I know nobody likes to be lied about. Right? Oh, yeah, they said this the other day. I did not say that. Right? That's not what I said. We're going to be lied about. And you say, and they're going to say all sorts of evil things against you. They're going to say all sorts of evil things against you. Why? Because you are my followers. Because This is the way I see a believer. A Christian ought to be a person who is becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm not there yet, but I'm working that direction. I'm trying to follow him more wholeheartedly and understand who he is more and more, and I'm trying to grow in that way. I think that is what a believer is supposed to do. A believer is going to continue to pursue Christ. Now, we're going to have to pursue Christ in the midst of these things. In the midst of people mocking, persecuting, lying about you, saying all sorts of evil things about you just because you're his follower, because you're a believer. Verse 12, check this one out. This is the very next verse. Jesus says, be happy about it. Be very glad. He says, rejoice. When you're persecuted, mocked, made fun of, lied about, or all sorts of evil things are said about you. Rejoice about that, he says. It might take a little bit of work for us, huh? For a great reward awaits you in heaven when you take flak because of Jesus as your Lord. There's going to be a reward waiting for you in heaven for standing up for the things that God says are right and not backing down. Do you see that in there? Isn't that basically what it's saying? And he goes on. He says, and remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Every one of those prophets were persecuted. Every one of the Old Testament prophets was, oh, shut up. There they go again. Some of them were arrested. Some of them were killed. Jesus gives a good reminder there, doesn't he? And now we're going to turn to John chapter 15 and verse 20. And Jesus here says, talking to his disciples, he says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than their master. Slave is not greater than the master. The servant isn't any better than the master. Since they persecuted me, and here's what he meant. Since they persecuted me, naturally, he said, they're going to persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. So interesting. If they would listen to Jesus, they're likely going to listen to us. Are we listening to Jesus? Have you met others who don't care what Jesus has to say? I'm sure you have. We're going to be persecuted like Jesus is persecuted, unless, of course, you won't experience any mockery or any persecution if you compromise. Think about it. If you compromise, they won't have anything to make fun of. If we live like them, they won't have anything to make fun of. But if we live like Jesus, then they'll want to say. And basically they're pointing out and trying to discredit so they don't have to believe it. The message that we stand for, which ought to be the gospel. So, if you want to compromise, then you won't have to deal with the persecution. But you might not get into heaven. What's it going to be? We've got to follow Christ. That means going against the grain. It means not being like the world is. It means standing out. It means letting that light, which is Jesus, let him shine through us. That's what it means. It means allowing other people to see Jesus in the way that we live and in the way that we treat each other and in the way that we treat them. It's showing love, isn't it? Sometimes they don't know how to act when we do know how to act. And sometimes they're jealous. And so I want to help further make the point. I'm going to I want to talk about a parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4. And this parable is, anybody ever planted any seed? Yeah. I've shared before, I've not planted a lot of things, but I try to get my yard looking nice, and it seems to be just an uphill battle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But I want to look good, and so occasionally I'll plant some grass seed, and I get so excited. I go out there like every day to see if the sprouts are coming up, you know? Nope, not yet. But then when it does, I have to go get my wife. Honey, Emily, you got to come and see. Look. Yeah, okay. Well, no, you didn't really get a good look. Look at all those. It's just like fuzzy hair coming up. Green fuzzy hair. We're going to talk about someone who planted some seed. And so here in Mark chapter 4, verse 3 is where we're going to start. Jesus is telling this parable, this story. He says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. And before we go any further, I want to mention, I believe that this parable is more about the soil than it is about the seed. And see if you can see that as we read through. A farmer went out to plant some seed. And in verse 4, as he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Verse 5, other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's what I'm talking about right there, that last one. But do you see the different soil types here? Okay, and then in verse 9, Jesus, he just continues there after he tells this parable. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And we're grateful because if we skip a few verses and go down to verse 13 and 14 and so on, Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. And we're privy to that. So here in verse 13, he says, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Jesus continues in verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. This is the meaning of the parable. Okay, so he's helping us to understand here that the seed is God's word. The seed is God's word. And really, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are commissioned by Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, he said, I need y'all to go, not just stay. I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations. Isn't that what he said? Am I wrong? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. There's our baptismal right back there. Baptizing them in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? So we want to be a part of what he's commanded us to do. And that is the Great Commission. That is going and making disciples. And I think that go is more of action than geographical location exactly. But some people, there's missionaries on the back wall. Matter of fact, next Sunday is our Missions Sunday. Is this the Sunday of the month that we highlight missions. And just by way of reminder, encouraging people to give toward missions. That is above and beyond your tithe. We'd love to add some more missionaries to the board. I know some more who are saying, man, if you guys could give, it'd be awesome. You know? And a matter of fact, we're going to have a missionary here on August the 15th. And going to be great. I want to encourage you to be here. He's a missionary in Africa. I forget exactly where that is. I'm sorry. but I want to encourage you to come and hear how God is working through his life and using him and his wife, and going to be great, okay? So, but back to the word. We are called, we've got this commission that Jesus gave us to go and make disciples. And really, that's for each and every one of us. That's not just for people who have a pastor in front of their name. It's for each and every person who considers Jesus their Lord and Savior. And so, and that's kind of where, that's where we got this each one reach one over here. In other words, each one of us is to make an impact in somebody else's life and point them to Jesus. That's the goal. And we can do that with the Word of God. Now, that's what the seed represents. The seed that in this parable that Jesus told represents God's Word, represents God's, this is, we could call this a love letter, if you will. Pretty long letter, though, isn't it? The Word is awesome. And it is very, very rich, and it's wonderful. And we can learn from the Word of God. We understand who God is through it. It's very, very beneficial to us. And so the farmer goes out, and each one of us is the farmer. The farmer goes out and plants seed, scatters that seed around. And I think that we do that by the way that we live, along with the words that we say. Because guess what? If we say, oh yeah, you shouldn't do that, and we tell that to people, and then we go and do it, guess what? They don't want to listen to us anymore, right? This excuse for not going to church, it hurts my ears and my heart. Well, I don't go to church because it's all just full of a bunch of hypocrites. While that may be true, and I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at us, sometimes we can be hypocritical, can't we? Let's get rid of that stupid stuff and move on. Because I just hate that excuse. I do. It hurts my heart because then Jesus' people aren't being Jesus' people. I think that his people are full of love and grace and righteousness. Scripture says that without holiness, no one can see the Lord. We can add holiness in there. We've got to be holy. We've got to live right. But we can't do it on our own. We need his help. And so basically what we're doing is we're the farmer, and we're casting out seed. And we do that by the way that we live. We do that by the words that we say. What a privilege. Oh, but Pastor, I can't make a difference. I know the feeling. I remember, this happened to me a couple different times. Some guys I used to work with, one was getting ready to leave, and he was going to go work somewhere else. And he said, man, I just have so enjoyed working with you here. You have blessed my life. I'm like, what? Me? I was an encouragement to him. Just by trying to live for Jesus. It was that simple, but that blessed him, and through that I honored Jesus with my life. It floored me because I was like, no, I didn't. You're lying. And then it happened again some other time later on. And so I share that because when we don't think that we're making a difference, we likely are. I had no idea that I was making a difference, but it was. And so the farmer, as farmers, we want to plant God's word. That's the seed that we're spreading. That's to put it simply, it's the gospel, the good news. The good news that Jesus came and he died for our sins and was raised to life. Praise God. So the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. In verse 15, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Okay, so here he's talking about soil that is trampled on. Soil it's packed down, right? When it gets wet, it packs down and it makes ruts. And it, over time, it just gets packed down. Guess what? If you don't do something, there's no seed going into that, right? You got to till it. You got to somehow make it to where the seed's going to get down in the soil for the seed to take. That's why often I will pray and ask the Lord, Lord, would you till the soil of their heart? See what we're talking about this morning now. We're talking about the heart. This parable is a parable of the soil and the seed, but primarily the soil. That's who it's describing. The seed is going to do its thing, but not if the soil isn't ready or right for it. Conditions need to be right. And so this soil here is on the footpath. It's packed in real tight and maybe even trampled on. Sometimes our hearts feel like that, don't they? Got to let go of that and give that to the Lord and allow him to till the soil so that the Word of God can come in, because it's hard to get past the way maybe others have treated you. Sometimes it's hard to get past that and engage in the Word of God. Matter of fact, you might have been thinking about that as I've been preaching. Until now you're like, uh-oh. Does he know? He doesn't know anything. I don't. The Lord does. It's funny. I'm serious. Sometimes people go, Pastor, after service, I didn't know anything. I still don't. I just know that God is the one who orchestrates that stuff. He's able to do that. And I ask him, Lord, speak through me. So if I step on your toes, know that I'm not like calling you out in front of everybody. The Lord is. He can do that. He's the boss, applesauce. Bum. The soil on the footpath. See, earlier in the parable, he said that the birds came and picked that seed away. That's what the birds eat, right? Seed. But here, Jesus is saying that the enemy, Satan, is the one who comes and takes it away. The seed just sitting on top of the soil. We've got to allow it to come and enter into our hearts before it can take root and germinate and begin to develop and grow. But when it's just sitting on the top and we're like, I don't know about that. That pastor is crazy. I don't know if that was accurate at all. And then the enemy, whoosh, he's going to swoop down and he's going to take that. Not good. Not good. And then we're going to look at our next verse in verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Anybody have rocky soil at home? Not in your heart? Yeah. You should all raise your hand. This is Benton County. Unless you brought the soil in, it's probably rocky. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message immediately they receive it with joy. Are you hearing that? Oh man, that message was so great. I need to give my heart to Jesus. And I'm going to do that maybe next time. Or maybe it was just now. But you see, then with the rocks in verse 17, but since they don't have deep roots, listen to this, church. Since they don't have deep roots, they do not last. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are, back to our previous verse, or are persecuted. As soon as they have problems, they fall away, or as soon as they're persecuted, they fall away, persecuted for believing God's word. As soon as somebody said, again, the roots aren't very deep. If we go back to the seed, it hasn't grown enough to have roots because there's rocks around those roots that don't allow it to grow very deep and don't allow it to spread out and don't allow it to grow up. Because guess what? You've got to grow down in roots first and before you can grow up in Christ. What would that look like? That's your prayer time. That's your quiet time with the Lord. That's making sure you're in the Word of God. Oh, great. Are you one of those preachers that talks about praying and reading the Bible every day? Yeah! I would encourage you to do that every day. And I am not ashamed of that. Do I do it every single day of the year? No. I'm a failure if that's the case. But I certainly try to do it every day. True confessions. What problems are keeping you from growing? What persecutions are keeping you from growing in Christ? I can't answer that for you today, but I'm posing the question for you so you can begin to examine that and say, oh my. See, the seed began to get root and take root, germinate. Now it's taken root, but because of all the rocks, because of the problems and the persecution, the troubles in life, the roots aren't able to go very deep, and then it gets hot out and it withers. That's something else that makes me mad, is when people fall away from the Lord. Please hear this. It breaks my heart because sometimes something will happen where the enemy, it's going to usually be offense. They get upset about something that somebody says in the church. And then they stop coming to church. Guess what? We can work problems out. If I shake your head like this, we can work problems out. If you're back there like this, then I don't want to talk to you right now about the problem. But truly, we can work problems out. Guess what? There's always going to be problems. Are we afraid of problems? No. Not afraid of problems because they're always there. Every homeowner knows that, right? Shucks, I just messed up and gave you like 3 or 4 things that you got to do sometime this week or next week. Sorry about that. Write them down so you can get it out of your hair. But seriously, we've got to be able to grow and let our roots grow down deep in Christ. And when we focus on all the problems and persecutions, we can't do that. Then all we're doing is focusing on that and putting out those fires when we ought to be growing and getting deeper and getting stronger. Does that make any sense? So that's another type of soil. So again, Jesus, remove the rocks from my heart. Or maybe it's somebody you're praying for. Lord, help them so that that seed can take better root and not wither, but instead last and continue on. Verse 18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. Okay, again, this is a plant that is seed that's fallen and begins to take root by thorns and other weeds, okay? But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. Doesn't that break your heart? No fruit is produced. May that not be said of our lives. May that never be said of our lives. But instead, we are not going to allow the worries of this life to choke out the Word of God in our hearts, right? There's always going to be worries. There's always going to be things to do, problems, issues, or the lure of wealth. I don't think it's a problem to have many things. I think it's when many things have you. You see the difference? It's if those things control you and you live only for that stuff. No. I think if we live for Jesus, and if he blesses us, then we just say praise God. And if he blesses us, it's probably so we can continue to be a blessing to other people. We want to follow Christ in that and not allow those things to rule us and control us. Instead, we control that. One of the fruit of the Spirit, one of those aspects is self-control. We want to control those desires of, well, I got to have more, and I got to have more, and I got to have more. you won't be bearing much fruit that way because you've never focused on the gospel. You never focus on the kingdom. You never focus on eternity, right? Let us produce much fruit. Amen? That's what Jesus said that we ought to do. That if we will remain in him, we will bear much fruit. In verse 20, Jesus, the final soil. So we've got soil on the footpath that's been packed down, and the seed can't really enter the soil there. The birds come along and pick it. So we've got that, the seed on the footpath, the seed that has the thorns around it, and the seed that is rocky, and then this final soil here, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and then produce a harvest. See, the others, they heard the same. They heard the same message. But for whatever reason, it didn't take root. They didn't prepare well enough for it. They didn't take right actions. And therefore the seed didn't bear any fruit in their life. But you, man and woman of God, we're going to take and receive, we're going to hear God's word and accept it, and then we're going to produce a harvest, right? Look here, it says, and they produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's exciting. Back to each one reaching one. Do you want to know the design? I believe that God designed it this way, that each one of us reach one, and then that person will reach someone else, and then that person would reach someone else. All the while, we're still reaching more as well. That grows exponentially. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Again, Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go in and help people learn how to follow me. So really our life is given pointing people to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. I want to share one other verse with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In his justice, God will repay back those who persecute you. You don't have to sweat it. You know, by the way, God says, vengeance is mine. We don't have to do anything with that. And then the next verse says, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. So God's going to take care of those who persecute and treat you wrongly, and he's also going to take care of you and give you rest one of these days. Amen? So, we want to continue to run after Jesus. Well, if your eyes are fixed on him, it's hard to focus on all the other stuff. Because there's plenty of other stuff, isn't there? Plenty of it. I want to encourage you, focus on him. Run after him. Run like you've never run before. When you run, though, sometimes your side starts to hurt, doesn't it? You're huffing. You can't get enough air. Your muscles start burning. Just keep on running. Because if you slow down, you're going to cramp up. Bow your hearts with me, would you? If you are in this place and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but this morning you realize the importance of Jesus, the Lord and Savior, and you want to lay your heart down before him, Today can be your day. Today can be that opportunity for you to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to begin to move in his direction. And if that's you and you're saying, I've not been living for him, but today I want to begin that relationship and be born again, slip up your hand so that I can see it. When I see it, I acknowledge it. You can put it back down. Thank you. anyone else. I want to honor Jesus. I want to live for Him. I want to know Him. He's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you. Listen, it's free, but it will cost you everything. Maybe you're here and you say, I want my heart. I want God to change the soil of my heart. I want Him to till it up today because I'm afraid that I've not allowed much fruit to grow because of the things that I've allowed to distract me or other different things that I focused on. If that's you, raise your hand. Uh-huh. Is there anyone else? Yeah. Jesus, help me. Lord, get rid of the rocks. Those problems that I focus on too much. Wash me. Help me get rid of that stuff. I don't need it. I want to focus on You instead. Maybe you're saying, I want to be more eternity minded. Jesus, help me to do that, right? I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord in this time. And just call out to Him. Call out to Him if there's something going on in your heart. You know, I know it takes some boldness to raise your hand or come up to the front and at an altar and seek the Lord. I just want to encourage you to do it right where you're at. Just seek Him and say, Lord, wash me. Help me. I want to follow the Great Commission. Help me to reach someone else. Help me to communicate the gospel to them in a real way. Lord, help me to bear fruit for You. God, we thank You. We thank You for who You are today. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that You would just continue to work in the lives of Your people. Forgive us where we have focused on other things. Forgive us for allowing those other things or problems or to be distractions to us from You. And instead, let us come close to You. Even close enough to put our ear to Your chest and hear what makes You tick. And hear the things that You care about. And may we lay down our lives for the things that You care about. May we be spent for Your glory. God, I thank You. I thank You for speaking to hearts even now. Lord, help us to truly rejoice when we're mocked or persecuted. Lord, help us to live in such a way that would please and honor You regardless of the consequences. Help us to do what is right according to Your word. Help us not to compromise, but help us to run straight toward You and not let up and not give up. Never shut up. We give You the praise today. And Father, I ask that You would go with Your people. I ask that Your hand would be upon them. And I ask, God, that You would smile on them, that You would show them wonderful things in Your word, and that You would speak to their heart of hearts and continually draw them to Yourself. I ask, God, that You would heal those who need healing. I ask that You heal emotions that have been damaged. God, You get the glory out of our lives. Thank You for each one of these people that You brought here today. And I ask that You just move in their life. Touch their families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I want to wish you a wonderful afternoon. We do have service tonight at 6 o'clock and on Wednesday nights at 6:30. It is wonderful worshiping the Lord with you today. Parents of children, there is some popsicles across the street at the Nazarene Church, and I think some inflatables, some bounce houses, if you are interested in letting them do that. I won't say anything to them.